But I pray, dear God, show them a better way. And they're now seeing a better way. Even though it has taken 30 years of prayer, that prayer that heals. You know, we think we want healed yesterday. And it's our sense of timing. We've got it all wrong. We think that 30 years is an awful long time, but it's nothing to God. So it's not how long it takes. It's the persistence. It's the consistency in our prayers. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And deliver us from evil. Deliver us from believing in evil. Deliver us from giving it power and authority. It doesn't have it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This was God's kingdom. It wasn't a part of the United Kingdom. It was somehow missing out on God. It was God's kingdom. The power was his. So the power was not in the gun or the bomb or the bullet. The power was God's. And the glory would be his. So they could not claim glory. It would be God's glory. The glory would be his. Do you know, when I finished that prayer, I felt like a different person. I had been all uptight for months and months. I had been wanting to move out of this country, and even if the house didn't sell, I just wanted to get me and my kids out of there. And suddenly, after saying the Lord's Prayer like that, I suddenly felt, why should I run away? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm going to stay here and be a part of the solution and not run away and be a part of the problem. I just felt I wanted to open my windows and doors and shout to everybody, come in here. I want to tell you about the prayer that heals, about the power of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that our Master gave us to pray. I was feeling absolutely great. I wasn't worried about my children anymore. I knew there were still all these sirens and noises and lots of things going. Nothing had changed outside, but I had changed. And that was a lesson for that day, that everything out there, the whole world, doesn't have to change. We have to change. We have to change our view of the world and pray for the world in this way. Well, about 20 minutes after that, my doorbell went, and I went out to the door, and a man was standing there. And as I opened the door, I noticed that his face was a sort of a purple color, and there was like foam coming from his mouth. And he fell into my hallway. It was a long, narrow hallway. So I got down on the floor beside him, and I had to get the door closed because of the noise outside. And I pulled him by the shoulders down the hallway, and then I closed the door, and I got down beside him, and he kept pointing towards his heart. And I felt, this must be some kind of a heart attack. He couldn't speak. And I was wearing a little tea apron, and I took the tea apron and I wiped his face, and I held his hand, and I said, Mister, I don't know who you are. And I don't know what side of the fence you come from, but it really doesn't matter. I know that you're God's child and that he loves you. And I said, I'm sure that you know the Lord's Prayer. And he nodded his head. And I said, well, I've just said the Lord's Prayer and it has done wonders for me. And I'm going to go over it again with you in mind. So I was still holding his hand, and I closed my eyes. And I said, Our Father. Now I said to him, Our Father means every part of your body, from your toes to your head. God made every part of you. Now he made you spiritual. He doesn't see you as material. But right now you're thinking of yourself in terms of mortality, that you're immortal. So let's apply it to every part of your human body, from your toes right up your toes to your nails to your ankles to your bones to your tummy to your heart to your lungs to your mind. Every part of you our Father made. And every part of you is perfect and whole and eternal and sound and good. And every part of you is working in perfect harmony with every other part of you. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious. If He's all harmonious, and He is, then you're all harmonious too. There's no discord in your being. I went right through the Lord's Prayer, and when I got to the bit, "Forgive us our debts," and I said to Him, "You know, we have to forgive the IRA and the people who are bombing and so forth." Well, when I came to the end of the Lord's Prayer, I opened my eyes and I looked, and I could see the color coming back into His face from His chin right up. Where it had been all red, it suddenly got a natural color right up. It was just easing, like something had lifted right off Him. And I helped Him up and into a chair, and it was lunchtime, and I said, "Look, I'll make you a sandwich and a cup of tea." And He began to tell me His story. He told me that 4 or 5 months ago, his wife was alone in the house and someone threw a bomb through his window. His house was absolutely destroyed and his wife was killed. And he and his wife only had one child, a daughter, aged 19. And she was absolutely distraught at losing her mother and their home. So after the funeral, the father decided to take her to England for a holiday. And he said, "Maybe when we're there, we will like England, and maybe we should live there and not come back to Ireland anymore." And they went over to England, and this girl was so distraught, he just couldn't pacify her. He couldn't comfort her. And she took a heart attack and died at only 19. And this man came home alone, and he had no home, and he had no wife, and he had no daughter. And on his first day home, he suffered a heart attack. He was taken into the intensive care unit of our local hospital, and had just been released that morning. He said, "I was walking up the road and I didn't know where to go. They told me I'd never work again. I didn't know where to go, and I don't know why I rang your doorbell." And I said, "Well, mister, I know why you did. And I'm glad you didn't ring it about 20 minutes ago. Because I wouldn't have been all prayed up. I wouldn't have been any help to you at all." And I told him how the Lord's Prayer had helped me. Well, that man was able to stay in my home for some months. When he went back to the hospital for a checkup, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't find any sign of heart trouble. He went back to work, and soon he got a little apartment. Now, that's always been an inspiration to me. Sometimes if I have a patient and the problem's not working out, I say, "Okay, it's time for the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pray with the Lord's Prayer." Now, I just wanted to tell you that one day I was talking to a woman about the power of the Lord's Prayer, and she told me this nice story. This was in England, and the woman said, "Oh, you lectured for our church. One of your first lectures was given in our church, and it was on the Lord's Prayer. It was called Our True Environment, the Kingdom of Heaven." She said, "Do you remember there were two ladies who came up to you afterwards, and they were not Christian Scientists?" And I said, "Yes, I did remember." And they said to me that they had never ever heard the Lord's Prayer said that way before, and they thanked me for it. Well, they went back to their little church, and the pastor of their church was dying with cancer. And the members had been trying to pray for him. So they called a meeting of all the women in the church, and they told them about my talk and about the way that I prayed with the Lord's Prayer. And they asked all the women in the church, will you pray with the Lord's Prayer for our pastor, like she did for that man? And they did, and he got completely healed. Wouldn't it be nice if we would do that for our church members? So many of our members have grown weary and discouraged, and they've turned to medication for help. Not because they want to, but because they're frightened, or because they're under pressure from their family. And I feel that we really, really need to pray to support them, to hold up their arms. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew someone in our church who turned to medication? If some of us, a group of us together, could say, we would love to pray with you, to help you to get off medication, to see that Christian Science really does heal. Doesn't it tell us in the New Testament, if your brother's sick, take it unto the churches? Well, we're not doing that kind of healing. We're not doing that kind of work. We might do it for individuals or members of our family, but we're not really doing it for the members of our church. I often have you sat in church, or I've sat in church, and seen one of our members and thought they don't look too good, and then think, well, really, it's not my business. They haven't asked me for help.